RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
On July the 1st, the 4th Indonesian Diaspora Congress took place in Jakarta and attended by thousands of participants from dozens of countries. It presented U.S. former President Barack Obama as the key speaker. In his speech, Barack Obama appreciated the performance of President Joko Widodo in realizing the progress of the nation through the development of infrastructure in the country.
Yesterday, I also had an opportunity to meet with your president. When we worked together, I always found Joko to be a man of quiet but firm integrity, somebody who sincerely wants to do what's right for all of the nation. And I was pleased to hear about the work that he continues to prioritize for Indonesia, including infrastructure, economic development, investing in human capital, and providing opportunity for all Indonesians. And I told Joko that I wanted to visit Indonesia on my first trip to Asia as the former president, because I really believe in the future of this country. And in particular, I believe in the young people of this country and the young people throughout Southeast Asia.
On July the 4th, Vice President Yusuf Kalla said in Jakarta that the efforts made by Indonesia to popularize the island of Komodo by promoting the island's tourism charms have been successful. Komodo Island in East Nusa Tenggara successfully entered the list of the world's best 100 major tourist destinations of National Geographic magazine version in 2017. In the list, Komodo Island even entered the top 10 in the category of recommended tourist attraction for spring.
Kita bangga bahwa di Indonesia
we are proud that Indonesia is in the top 100 and Komodo is one of the top 10. That signifies that our efforts in popularizing Komodo has been successful. This means that it is attractive to foreigners. On July the 8th, President Joko Widodo said that Indonesia supports the development of an equal partnership between the G20 and Africa. The president was addressing a session on cooperation with Africa, migration and health at the leaders' retreat in the G20 summit in Hamburg, Germany. He said that Indonesia has been with Africa since the beginning to fight for independence and equality among the world countries through the Asian African Conference in 1955. President Joko Widodo emphasized that Indonesia wants to realize the political proximity that has been built since 1955 to be a real economic proximity by promoting investment, reducing and eliminating trade barriers, and enhancing technical cooperation. On the same date, President Joko Widodo called on the Norwegian government's attention on the Norwegian Parliament's resolution of June 2, 2017 on oil palm. The president rejected the resolution as it was considered inconsistent with the spirit of reducing emission from deforestation and forest degradation plus or red plus cooperation between Indonesia and Norway and denied Indonesia's efforts on climate change mitigation, environmental protection, and sustainable development. President Joko Widodo believes the Norwegian government will support open and fair trade relations. The president's statement was revealed by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi after attending the bilateral meeting with Norwegian Prime Minister Erna Solberg on the sidelines of the G20 summit in Hamburg, Germany. The Norwegian parliamentary resolution followed the previous resolution issued by the European Union Parliament related to the certification of palm products and biopalm oil diesel. The Indonesian government regretted the allegation that oil palm is considered a major contributor to deforestation.
Kita tahu bahwa kita ingin memajukan perdagangan.
We know that we want to promote trade and to promote investment. The trade benefits both countries. There is also an issue that we are saying once again, that is the issue of oil palm in the context of their biodiesel.
Biodieselnya mereka.
Still on July the 8th, in addition to the meeting with the Prime Minister of Norway, President Joko Widodo also held a bilateral meeting with Vietnamese Prime Minister Nguyen Xuan Phuc. The President expressed his hope that the negotiations on the exclusive economic zone of the two countries shall be immediately resolved. He also expects Vietnam's cooperation to combat illegal fishing activities.
This is for the first time bahwa G20 mengeluarkan.
This is for the first time that G20 issued a plan of action on countering terrorism, and in the plan of action, it is specifically called on the support of the G20 for the start of the Indonesian membership process in the FATF. So, specifically the single out on the issue, and certainly after this, there will be several processes, including the sending of high-level delegation to Indonesia, until finally Indonesia will be accepted as a member of FATF. You are still with Voice of Indonesia in Kaleidoscope 2017. I'll continue to August. On August the 1st, Foreign Ministry spokesman Armanata Nasir said in Jakarta that terrorism that occurred in some parts of ASEAN, such as in the Philippines and Indonesia, requires a joint commitment. Armanata Nasir also explained that although ASEAN already has mechanism to combat terrorism, it still requires the commitment of all member countries to take concrete steps to combat it. The threat of terrorism is the main focus of Indonesia, as conveyed by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi at the ASEAN Ministers Summit from August the 4th until the 8th in Manila, the Philippines. On August 5th, ASEAN Foreign Ministers' meeting was opened by Philippine Foreign Minister Ellen Peter Cayetano in Manila, the Philippines. In his speech, Minister Cayetano said that at the age of ASEAN, that has entered half a century, until now the member countries still enjoy the prosperity, peace, and security in the region.
We now enjoy peace, security, and stability in the region. More importantly, they speak of ASEAN values we have fostered through the years. The same values that allowed us in ASEAN to thrive and progress in peace and harmony with our neighbors, despite the fact that sometimes there are issues and complicated, sensitive matters between us. Yet we have found a way to live peacefully and give our region peace and stability.
Turning to August the 9th, President Joko Widodo said that the current challenges that often arise are globalization of radicalism, terrorism, narcotics and hazardous substances, drugs, human trafficking, arms smuggling, and cybercrime. The president, in his speech at the International Association of Constitutional Courts and similar Asian institutions symposium in Surakarta, Central Java, reminded the Constitutional Court to be a light for the understanding of a country.
Di tengah terpaan gelombang tantangan terbaru itu.
In the midst of the latest wave of challenges, the role and position of the Constitutional Court in every democratic country becomes increasingly important, because the Constitutional Court becomes an anchor, a light that illuminates a country's understanding. The anchor is understanding the initial view of the founders of the nation who made the Constitution feel their spirit and noble intention. Then, the Constitutional Court is the one that interprets the Constitution so that it can continue to be the guidance and become the inspiration of the nation and state in responding to new challenges. The International Symposium, which took place on August the 9th and 10th was attended by delegates from 14 countries, including Afghanistan, South Korea, Malaysia, Thailand, Turkey, and Indonesia. One of the agenda discussed in the meeting is the election of the chairman of the symposium for the period 2017-2019. In this election, Malaysia was elected to replace Indonesia. On August 21st, Vice President Yusuf Kalla opened the Indonesian Diaspora Global Summit in Jakarta. According to Edward Wanandi, who was in charge of the conference, it was held as a brainstorm event between diaspora and national stakeholders for Indonesia's development. The meeting raised three main topics, namely education and health for Papua and West Papua, contributions from diaspora for energy saving and cutting-edge technology, and global Indonesian diaspora protection. On August the 23rd, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi said that the visit of the Secretary General of the Communist Party of Vietnam, Nguyen Phu Trong, to Indonesia was purely a state affair. Minister Retno explained the relationship between the two countries is improving. It can be seen from the creation of strategic partnership between Indonesia and Vietnam, such as in trade sector. In the midst of slump world economic situation, Indonesia and Vietnam trade show significant growth. Still on the same date, 25 leaders of the agency Financial Examiner from 11 countries gathered in Bali to discuss the role of the financial auditing body in implementing the Sustainable Development Objectives. The meeting, which took place in Kuta on August 23rd until 25th, discussed the latest developments and objectives to be achieved within the 2017-2019 period from each working group of the World Examiner Organization. Chairman of the Indonesian Supreme Audit Agency, Murmahadi Suryajayanegara, said in Kuta that the working group plan program is in line with what the Indonesian government has launched for the medium term. Also on August the 23rd, Indonesia and China agreed to strengthen the harmonious vision of the World Maritime Axis and Maritime Initiative. In the 21st century, the agreement was reached in a close meeting between Indonesia's Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Wiranto, with Chinese State Advisor Yang Jiechi in Beijing on August 21st and 22nd. The Indonesian Embassy in Beijing said that the sixth meeting also produced a note to be the guidance for the development of future bilateral political, legal and security cooperation. On August the 24th, the South China Sea dispute continues, although some countries, including Indonesia, have tried to facilitate the issue to be resolved soon. Both Vietnam and the People's Republic of China still insist on claiming the territory. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Wiranto told reporters on the sidelines of the third symposium on international maritime security in Nusa Dua, Bali on Thursday, August the 24th, that Indonesia already has its own commitment and stance about South China Sea dispute. Wiranto added that China has also agreed with the conflicting countries to update the code of conduct on the peaceful settlement of the South China Sea.
Kalau kawasan Cina itu kan Indonesia sudah mempunyai stand.
In the case of South China Sea region, Indonesia already has its own stance. I just returned from the People's Republic of China to talk about the South China Sea. Indonesia is in a push position so that the problems of South China Sea with all the countries involved are settled peacefully. No show of forces that could lead to a sharper conflict. On August the 29th, Attorney Generals of Indonesia and Singapore signed a Memorandum of Understanding on legal cooperation that included the exchange of information and training. Indonesian Attorney General Muhammad Prasetyo, after signing a Memorandum of Understanding in Jimbaran, Bali, said that the two countries have so far had fundamental differences in the implementation of the legal system. Indonesia adheres to the legacy system of the Netherlands and Singapore following the legal system of British rules. He views that with the Memorandum of Understanding, jurisdictional limits can be disregarded. Turning now to September. On September the 3rd, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi received a visit by Costa Rican Foreign Minister Manuel Antonio Gonzalez Sanz at the Indonesian Foreign Ministry in Jakarta. The priority at this bilateral meeting was a discussion on the officially opening of the Embassy of Costa Rica in Jakarta on Tuesday, September the 5th, for the enhancement of cooperation between the two countries. Minister Retno Marsudi said that the memorandum of the opening of the Embassy of Costa Rica in Indonesia is the affirmation of Jakarta's reputation as diplomatic capital of ASEAN.
Tentunya pembukaan kedutaan besar Costa Rica di Jakarta ini.
Certainly, the opening of the Costa Rican Embassy in Jakarta will facilitate the enhancement of Indonesia's cooperation with Costa Rica in various fields and further affirms Jakarta's reputation as a diplomatic capital of ASEAN. Well, on September 6, members of Parliament from a number of countries around the world participated in the World Parliamentary Forum on Sustainable Development. The event, which was held in Bali on September the 6th and 7th, discussed actual issues including the world parliamentary efforts to support the realization of the Sustainable Development Goals of 2030 and foster peace in Rakhine, Myanmar. Speaker of the Indonesian House of Representatives Setia Novanto, in his opening address of the World Parliamentary Forum on Sustainable Development in Bali, asserted that Parliament has a responsibility to create world peace by ending the humanitarian crisis that hits the Rohingya ethnic in Rakhine, Myanmar.
Kami sangat prihatin atas konflik dan kekerasan.
We are deeply concerned about the conflict and violence that took place in Rakhine, and for that, we call on the Myanmar's government to immediately restore stability and provide inclusive security for all communities in Rakhine, including the Rohingyas. On September the 20th, Indonesian Minister of Trade Enggar Tias Tolukita and Australian Minister of Trade, Tourism and Investment Stephen Kyobo held a meeting at the Ministry of Trade in Jakarta. The two ministers discussed the development of the Indonesia-Australia Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement. Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita hopes that the negotiations can be completed by the end of 2017 and soon implemented.
Kita mau menyepakati.
We want the government. We want the agreement on the CEPA this year is over, and the meeting was very positive. So the CEPA agreement can be signed by our two heads of state by the end of this year at the latest.
Let's move in on now to October. On October 1st, President Joko Widodo became the inspector of Pancasila Sanctity Day ceremony at Lubang Buaya Monument in East Jakarta. After the ceremony, President said that Pancasila as the philosophy and ideology of Indonesia must be held tightly so that the unity of the nation is not undermined by other ideologies. The President also invites all components of the nation and orders the Indonesian military, police, and state agencies to work together to face the global competition. On October 5th, President Joko Widodo expressed his appreciation to the Indonesian Armed Forces 10E and expects the 10E to unite with other institutions in safeguarding the unitary state of Republic of Indonesia. President Joko Widodo was speaking as the inspector of ceremony at the 72nd anniversary of 10E at Indah Kiat Dok, Cilegon, Banten.
Dan dengan penuh rasa optimisme, saya mengatakan bahwa TNI akan.
And with a sense of optimism, I'd say that TNI will become an armed force that is increasingly respected by other countries, a great power in the region in Asia, and with confidence, the TNI will always be the first in maintaining the unity of the unitary state of Indonesia. On October 15, the Asian Olympic Council and the 2018 Asian Games Organizing Committee agreed to change some of the contents of the 2018 Asian Games host city contract. The most important thing is the contract changes is related to the use of sponsor funds. Vice President Yusuf Kalla, who is also chairman of the 2018 Asian Games Steering Committee in Jakarta, believes that the latest agreement signed will support the funding sponsorship in the Asian Games next year.
Prinsip-prinsip pokok perubahan itu ialah
the main principle of change are to launch the Asian Games smoothly and also to improve the quality of these Asian Games and, of course, to make it more efficient and clarify the responsibility of each party in this organization. On October 24th, the House of Representatives adopted the government regulation in lieu of Law No. 2/2017 on community organization into law. In his speech before the House of Representatives in Jakarta, Minister Home Affairs Cahyo Kumolo, representing President Joko Widodo, strongly denied the government regulation enacted into law would freeze the freedom of association and founding organization, including the social organizations. Minister Cahyo also said that the government will still receive limited input from the public. You are still with Voice of Indonesia in Kaleidoscope 2017. Now let us proceed to November. On November 5th, visiting Indonesian head of National Agency for Counterterrorism, Police Commissioner General Suhardi Alius, explained to Jordan's King Abdullah II in Amman the pattern of approach taken by Indonesia so far in addressing the terrorism issue. Suhardi Alius said that King Abdullah II encouraged even closer cooperation between Indonesia and Jordan in counterterrorism field. On November 9, President Joko Widodo and First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo received a state visit of the President of South Korea, Moon Jae-in, and First Lady Kim Jong-suk at the Presidential Palace in Bogor, West Java. In a joint press statement, President Joko Widodo welcomed the upgrading of partnership status between Indonesia and South Korea into a special strategic partnership with an emphasis on industry sector acceleration in Indonesia.
Beberapa hal yang dibahas dalam pertemuan tadi antara lain, yang pertama,
some of the issues discussed in this meeting are, among others, firstly, to improve the agreement of the two countries into a special strategic partnership with the sharpening of industrialization acceleration in Indonesia. Secondly, we welcome the increase South Korean investment almost doubled in the first semester of 2017. Thirdly, creative industry cooperation, which I discussed during a visit to South Korea in 2016, has also been followed up by the opening of the Korean Creative Content Agency in Jakarta, October 2016. On November 12, President Joko Widodo began his visit to Japan, followed by a bilateral meeting with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi said that in the meeting, the two heads of governments also launched the 60th anniversary of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Japan logo. In addition, President Joko Widodo and Prime Minister Shinzo Abe also discussed ongoing cooperation projects between the two countries, one of which is infrastructure development. On November 14, the leaders of ASEAN, Japan, China, and South Korea at the 20th ASEAN Plus 3 Anniversary Summit in Manila, the Philippines, issued two important documents, namely the Manila Declaration on the 20th Anniversary of ASEAN Plus 3 Cooperation and the leaders' joint statement on food security cooperation. Still on the same date, Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi said that the leaders of the ASEAN member countries together with China in the ASEAN-China Summit held in Manila, the Philippines, agreed to begin negotiating a code of conduct framework in an effort to resolve the South China Sea conflict.
Untuk ASEAN China, jadi kemarin leaders sudah sepakat meng-announce bahwa
the leaders of ASEAN China agreed to announce that negotiation for COC begins. Now this means to start the process when and where. For ASEAN China, the coordinator is Singapore. It means that Singapore will talk to PRC to determine the date of negotiation. So yesterday, almost all the leaders emphasized the importance of immediately
starting negotiations because there is agreement on the level of leaders to start negotiation. We will immediately push the finalization of the negotiation to continue to be sought. Move on to November 19, the construction of the Indonesian hospital in Myeongbae, Rakhine State, Myanmar, officially started after the first stone laying. Foreign Ministry spokesman Arman Atanasir said the construction of this hospital was the result of a cooperation between the government of Indonesia and the Indonesian people, including the Indonesian Red Cross, various non-governmental organizations, and the private sector. On November 25th, President Joko Widodo strongly condemned the shootings and bombings that occurred at Al Raudah Mosque, Al Arish Town, North Peninsula, Sinai Province, Egypt. This terror action has resulted in a number of injuries and deaths.
Saya mengutuk keras serangan teroris yang ada di Mesir.
I strongly condemn the terrorist attacks in Egypt, North Sinai, and convey the deep sorrow and sympathy of all Indonesians to the Egyptian government, the people of Egypt, and the victims. Indonesia has always been with Egypt in such a difficult situation. I think I have often repeated that cooperation in the context of combating terrorism, combating radicalism, is our collective obligation. On November 29, Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture Puan Maharani said that the central and provincial governments of Bali were prepared to anticipate the impact of Mount Agung eruption that occurred on November 25th. Minister Puan explained the government is still trying to provide maximum service for foreign tourists who are still stuck on the island of Bali, including providing information every 5 hours at Igusti Ngurah Rai International Airport and a one-week exit pass policy for foreigners whose visas period is over. Health services at refugee shelter health posts have been prepared. Likewise, for affected schools, teaching and learning process is carried out at the nearest school from evacuation post. The government has prepared the refugee shelter in the designated places. The food is also ready and it can be prepared by the Social Affairs Minister. Still on November 29th, President Joko Widodo met Chinese Vice Premier Liu Yandong at the State Palace in Jakarta. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, after accompanying the President Joko Widodo, stated that President Joko Widodo hopes to increase cooperation between the two countries, including asking China to expand access of Indonesian products to China and increase Chinese investment in Indonesia. Let us move to December. The Bali Democracy Forum BDF 2017 was held at the Indonesian Convention Center BSD Tangerang, Banten on December 7-8, 2017. The 10 BDF is a ministerial meeting which has been held since 2018. In his remarks, when closing the Bali Democracy Forum 2017, Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs Aim Fahir highlighted the key points in the ministerial panel as well as the general debate session that included democratic prerequisites, democratic challenges, the importance of homegrown democracy, national consensus, and conducive external conditions to develop democracy and inclusiveness as the key to social harmony and participation. In addition, Aim Fahir also highlighted Asian efforts as a regional organization in strengthening its democracy.
ASEAN is a regional organization is strengthening the norm of and commitment to democracy through its normative framework that may serve as benchmark to measure democracy. In the last 50 years, ASEAN has developed a culture of dialogue and maintained security in the region, which is also beneficial in the deliberation of issues, including with ASEAN dialogue partners and various ASEAN-centered mechanisms.
Meanwhile, on December 10, 2017, Indonesia, through Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, strengthened the commitment to support Palestine after Jerusalem decided by U.S. President Donald Trump as the capital of Israel. Minister Retno Marsudi flew to Amman, Jordan, for a bilateral meeting with three foreign ministers. Upon arrival in Amman, Minister Retno met with Amman and Palestinian foreign ministers. In addition, Minister Retno also said that she went to Brussels to meet the European Union foreign ministers with the agenda to strengthen support in a bid to reject the decision of the President Trump related to Jerusalem. On December 14, 2017, after attending Organization of Islamic Cooperation OIC Extraordinary Summit of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, President Joko Widodo at Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport in East Jakarta delivered important points that became the government proposals regarding the recognition of the United States on Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
Yang pertama, OKI harus secara tegas menolak pengakuan unilateral tersebut.
Firstly, OIC must strictly reject the unilateral recognition, and the two-state solution is the only solution, with East Jerusalem as the Palestinian capital. Secondly, we invite all states that have embassies in Tel Aviv not to follow the decision of the United States to move their embassy to Jerusalem. Thirdly, OIC member countries can be a motor to mobilize the support of a state that has not yet recognized the independence of Palestine for immediate action. Fourthly, for OIC member states which have links with Israel, they must take diplomatic measures, including the possibility of reviewing relations with Israel in accordance with various OIC resolutions. Fifthly, the members of the OIC should jointly take steps to improve humanitarian aid, capacity building, and economic cooperation to the Palestinians. The sixth point is that OIC must be able to become a motor for the movement in various international and multilateral forums.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder, a regular segment featuring Indonesian tourism like places of interest, art and culture, also culinary. Today I will take you to Lampung Province to enjoy the beauty of Balak Island. So stay tuned into RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In addition to shortwave, you can also listen to this program via www.voi.go.id. Balak Island is located in Pidada Bay area, Lampung. Recently, it has become one of the beach tourism destinations in Bandar Lampung, the province's capital, which attracts the attention of visitors. In addition to being exotic, the island is relatively still unknown, so it has a quiet atmosphere that makes every tourist who comes to this island will feel like a vacation on the island's own. Thank you. Balak Island, which has an area of approximately 200 hectares, presents a landscape that is not less beautiful compared to other tourist islands in Lampung. Balak Island in Pidada Bay has a fine white sandy beach which extends like a tapestry. If you walk along the east and south sides of Balak Island, you will see rocky cliffs that resemble a wall as high as tens of meters. On the coast of Balak Islands, there are many overgrown coastal plants, iki ketapang, si putat, si waru, and windgrass. While the middle of Balak Island is dominated by coconut, kokua, duku, and a number of other plants. Balak Islands is derived from Lampung language Balak, which means big. It is said that indeed on the three islands located in Pidada Bay, Balak Islands is the largest. Some activities that can be done on these islands include snorkeling, swimming, playing on the sand, or relaxing while sunbathing on the soft white sand. Balak Islands is situated inside Punduk Pidada Bay, so the water around it is quite calm. This condition makes it easier for divers to enjoy the beauty of coral reefs around the island, and this makes 80% of the coral reefs in these waters are still well preserved. Coral reefs around Balak Islands are special because they are not so deep in the sea. In fact, during the low tide, the coral reefs can be seen clearly from the sea surface. At a depth of 2 meters, coral reefs with various ornament fish can easily be found. In addition, typical underwater nature in Balak Island waters is the compositions of coral reef, which is pretty dense. In addition to coral reefs, there are also various types of colorful ornament fish living among the coral reefs. And if you're lucky, you can meet with some hawksbill turtles swimming around Balak Island's waters. To visit Balak Islands, you need to depart from Ketapang Pier, which is located about 1 hour from downtown Lampung. There, you can rent a fast boat with a capacity of 5 to 6 people or a motorboat with a capacity of 15 people with travel time approximately 40 minutes. When you arrive on these islands, you will feel as on a private island because it is so quiet. Holiday on Balak Islands is perfect for those who want to find quiet and peace. There is some lodging available on Balak Island. As for food, you can bring your own provisions, cook yourself, or buy at the stalls around the island. Electricity facilities are only available for 6 hours from 6 p.m. to 12 p.m. If you want to feel the sensations of sleeping in the open, you can set up a tent by the beach. A special treat here is watching the sunrise and sunset, which are so beautiful. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder.
Wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we will play some Indonesian music. We would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Avinash J. Kote in India. In his email, Mr. Avinash said that he was listening to our broadcast in English and Arabic program through shortwave on frequency of 9525 kHz on 7 March 2017 at 1600 hours to 1330 hours UTC and 1900 hours to 1930 hours UTC with SIO 344. Hello, Mr. Avinash Shekhut. Thank you for your reception report. Based on your report, we are sure that you can listen to our broadcast clearly. Your report has been forwarded to Arabic section, so please be patient to wait for the replay. Thank you. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Kau datang dan jantungku berdegup kencang. Kau buatku terbang melayang. Tiada ku sangka getaran ini ada saat jumpa yang pertama. Mataku tak dapat terlepas darimu. Perhatikan setiap tingkahmu, yeah, yeah. Tertawa pada setiap candamu saat jumpa yang pertama. Could it be love? Could it be love? Could it be, could it be, could it be love? Could it be love? Could it be love? Could this be something that lepas darimu, perhatikan setiap tingkahmu, yeah, yeah. Tertawa pada setiap candamu saat jumpa yang pertama. Could it be love? Could it be love? Could it be, could it be, could it be love? Could it be love?
from Mahesh Jain, also in India. He sent his email to our broadcast on June 14, 2017. In his email, Mr. Mahesh Jain told that he is regular and loyal listener of Voice of Indonesia English Service. He listens daily on 9525 kHz, but this is for the first time he has contacted us. In his email, Mr. Mahesh Jain wants to report from May 2017 onwards there is lots of disturbance in 9525 kHz. he is not able to hear the program flawlessly. Hello, Mr. Mahesh Jain. Thank you for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. Your complaint has been forwarded to technical division and it has been fixed. Hopefully, our broadcast can be heard clearly now. As our appreciation, we will enter your name on VOI listeners list. So please keep monitoring and sending your reception report on our broadcast. Thank you. Special for you and our other regular listeners, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Kurasakan tajam menusuk tak beralasan. Kita sudah dingin hati. Dulu kita pernah saling memahami. Segan merasa telah menyakiti. Kita terlalu perasa. Setiap kata benci.
You are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now we continue to reply an email from Anderson Costa de Aquino in Brazil. In his email, Mr. Anderson Costa de Aquino would like to receive radio materials as well as other materials about Indonesia, which is a beautiful country at sea. Hello, Mr. Anderson Costa de Aquino. Thank you very much for writing an email to our broadcast. We are really sorry because we cannot fulfill your request at the moment. Maybe next time we will provide it. Thank you. Well, Mr. Anderson Costa de Aquino, please keep listening to our broadcast and sending your report. For you listener, wherever you are, we will play a beautiful song.
Dirimu buatku selalu penasaran terkadang. Terkadang buatku tersipu, malu. Manisnya ucapanmu membuatku tak menentu. Ku tak tahu harus bagaimana. Sungguh kau buatku bertanya-tanya dengan teka-teki, teka-tekimu. Sesungguhnya malu manisnya ucapanmu membuatku tak menentu. Ku tak tahu bagaimana. Sungguh kau buatku bertanya-tanya dengan teka-teki, teka-tekimu. Mungkinkah ku temukan jawaban. Tanya-tanya dengan
teka-teki, teka-teki.
Before we end our listener's mailbag, we want to reply an email from Gigi Nadali in Italy. In his email, Mr. Gigi Nadali said that he was been a shortwave listener since 1980 and he is also an amateur radio operator. Hello, Mr. Gigi Nadali. Thank you for sending your email on our broadcast. Although you did not tell the frequency that you have heard, but we are sure that you always monitor our radio. So, Mr. Gigi Nadali, keep listening to our broadcast and please do not forget to send your reception report. Thank you. Well, listener, actually, we have received many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. I'll repeat again. Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi.english@gmail.com, voi.english@gmail.com, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. And on behalf of Voice of Indonesia's management and staff, we would like to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year 2018. Well, it's not to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Alika, thank you for listening, and we will meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
Tersiarkan kisah lelaki tangguh bagai satria, namun saat ia tertatih takluk oleh dunia. Terbising namamu, ia cerminan sisi terbaikmu. Lindungi hatinya sekalipun di dalam amarah.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.